Bibles this morning to the book of John. The book of John in chapter 4. We're going to begin our reading this morning in verse 9. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him. That is, Jesus had been sitting at Jacob's well, resting. And I think more than him resting, it was because he had appointment to keep with this woman of Samaria. And as he sat there, weary from his journey, a woman of Samaria comes to the well at high noon. Now, most of the women would have gone early in the morning or late in the day. It was, generally speaking, women that were scorned or looked down upon that would have gone out at high noon in the heat of the day to draw water. But the scripture makes it clear that she came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, not a request, but a command, give me to drink. So verse 9 says, then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou being a Jew askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. Notice his answer. Jesus said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? We dwelt primarily last week upon verse 10. And noticed the fact that of the gift of God. Jesus said to her, if thou knewest the gift of God, do you know the gift of God? This woman did not know the gift of God. Jesus said, if you had known the gift of God, and who it is that gives the gift, you would have asked him that gift. For that gift of living water. And not to go too deeply into what we dealt with last week, do you know the gift of God? Do you know that it is a gift of God? For God so loved the world that he gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was a gift. And it was a gift to those whom would believe, which believe. Faith is a gift of God. God gave His Son. God gives faith by which we believe in His Son. Turn with me to the book of Acts as we think upon this thought for just a moment. In the book of Acts in chapter 5, look with me here at verse 30 and 31. This is Peter and the apostle speaking before the magistrates, before the Sanhedrin, the consuls, who had commanded them not to speak anymore in this man's name. And they said this, they said in verse 30, said, "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. He hath God exalted with His right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." God gave His Son for to give repentance and faith to Israel. Not only did He do this to Israel, but He did this for the Gentiles as well. Turn to the 11th chapter. The 11th chapter of the book of Acts. In verse 17, Peter here is speaking to Jewish Christians and trying to show them that God not only gave them repentance and faith, the Jews, but He gave repentance and faith to the Gentiles as well. To Cornelius' band, the Roman soldier, his band, and his company of men, He gave repentance and faith. "For as much then as God gave them the like gift as He did unto us who believed," He's talking about faith, "who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted," that word granted there is the same Greek word that is translated give back in Acts chapter 5, which we read, to give repentance to Israel. So it is given to the Gentiles, given repentance. We see here He not only gave to the Jews repentance and faith, but He gave also to the Gentiles repentance and faith. And so we Gentiles that are here today that have received the gift of Jesus Christ, the gift of repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, praise the Lord. We can glorify God because He has given the gift of His Son to us. He said to that woman of Samaria, He said, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it was that said of thee, thou wouldest asked of Him." She did not know the gift of God. She did not know how the gift of God was to come, through whom it was to come. She did not know or understand what living water was. Her understanding of living water was springs of water. That was a word that the Jew in the Hebrew and then in the Greek was called of springs flowing up out of the ground, ever flowing, bubbling water. And Jesus wasn't talking about the physical and natural springs that we find an occasion in the earth bubbling up out of the ground, an ever-flowing source of water. He was speaking of the spiritual gift. He was speaking of the gift of God. He was speaking of God's grace that when it springs up within your heart, it is the gift of God, giving repentance and faith, and it is ever flowing, ever bubbling. It's a constant source that is flowing to the one who believes, to the one who's out of God, to see Him through this life's journey, to see Him not only through this life's journey, but to see Him one day stand face to face before His Redeemer, and being changed into the very likeness of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, thou wouldest have asked of Him. You would have asked of Jesus to give. But see, they won't ask. They won't ask because they don't realize that they're in need. They don't realize that they are a great sinner. And they're, being a great sinner, they're in need of a Savior. They're in need of God's grace. They don't know and don't realize, and we didn't know, and we didn't realize until one day the giver. Giver gave his gift of life. And for the first time, I saw myself a wretched and wicked sinner before God. You see, before that, all men think they're pretty good. Think they're doing a pretty good job. I thought I was doing pretty good. Went to church. Went to church every service. Taught Sunday school. I led singing. There are men today who are lost and condemned and on the road to hell that they think they're a pretty good person. They have a care and a compassion for people. It would seem someone's in need, they do what they can to try to help them and aid them. But God said, all those things are your good works. They are your righteousnesses. They are good works before men. But before me, God said, there is a filthy rag. There is a stench in the nostrils of God. Because you do it not trusting in Jesus. You do it not in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Men all over this world are trusting in their good works, trusting in the ability they have, which they don't have any ability to do anything that is good before God. Not until God, the giver, gives them repentance and faith. Repentance toward God, because that's what our sins That's who our sins are against. Our sins are against God. Our desires and passions of the flesh that we follow so readily and so quickly after, they're a stench in the nostrils of God. They're not coming to God. They're going away from God. We're following our own way. We're following our desires and our passions, our things. And so God is the giver. He gave the gift of His Son. And He gives the gift of repentance, faith. He gave His Son that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Today, considering going on and noticing the ignorance of this woman in verse 10, according to what Jesus has spoken. Now going on into verse 11, the woman continues to show that she's in darkness, continues to show that she's dull of understanding, that her eyes are darkened, she's blind and cannot see. The woman saith unto Him, Sir, Thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Whence then hast Thou that living water? How are you going to get that living water, Jesus? How are you going to get that living water, Jew? You don't even have a bucket. You see, once again, she showed her ignorance to the fact of who it is that she's speaking with. This is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Creator God, the one who created water, the one who created the living waters, the one who created the material that our buckets are made of, the one who, in the second chapter of the book of John, at the marriage feast of Cana, the vessel pots that were filled with water, and because they had a need of wine, run out of wine at the wedding feast, because they had a need of wine, He turned the water into wine. He could have said, bucket, and a bucket full of water would have appeared. He could have said, let there be a bucket full of water, and it would have appeared before her very eyes. She didn't recognize the Son of God. She didn't recognize the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you? Do you recognize the Son of God? The Lord Jesus Christ? The one who is the Creator God, the Son of God, God manifest in the flesh. Do you recognize that it's He that came to die? Sinful man? Yes, for sinful man. Not for a good man. Jesus said that the ones that are well, the ones that are whole, the ones that are not sick, don't need a physician. Who needs the physician? Those that are sick. The spirit of sanctification was a good man, a one who thinks he's a good man, he doesn't need the Savior. He doesn't think. He does. But the ones that see themselves a sinner, at the point that everyone that is the one that is brought to repentance and faith, that point that every one of them comes to see themselves a sinner before God. And when they see that, they're humbled. in the sight of God. They're humbled in the face of God. There's no pride left within them. And they cry out for saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, because God has already given them a new birth. He gives to them repentance and faith. Oh, boldness of men to understand spiritual truth. We've encountered this on a number of occasions in the book of John already. In the second chapter, in verse 20, we read this. When Jesus had said concerning the temple, his temple, that destroy it. You destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will rise again. It will raise again. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and with will thou rear it up in 3 days? You see, they were looking at the physical building, the building which they could see with their hands, the eyes they could touch with their hands, they could walk into with their feet. They failed to see the spiritual truth of what Jesus was proclaiming concerning his body, concerning his temple. You Jews, you destroy this temple. You sinners, you destroy this temple. And within 3 days, I'll rise again. In the book of, also in the book of John, in the third chapter, in verse 4, Jesus told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. He cannot see the kingdom of heaven. And Nicodemus didn't understand. He was dull of understanding. He was blinded to the spiritual truth that Jesus was trying to teach him, to portray to him. And Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? You see, he manifests that he was dull spiritually. Understand it. He didn't understand that a man was born all wrong the first time. A man is born in sin and trespasses. And being born in sin, he is dead in sin and trespasses. That is, he's dead under the things of God. He's living in sin. He comes forth from his mother's womb, speaking lies, deceiving. You ever hear the baby cry? Yeah, we hear a baby crying, we think something's terribly wrong with it. And we start fussing over the baby and trying to figure out what's wrong with the baby. Oh, the diaper's not wet. He's not hungry. And we pick him up and he stops crying. All he wanted to be was picked up. The great deceiver he is. The Word of God tells us he is. A deceiver. A liar. He's a sinner. And that sin only manifests itself more and more as they grow, become older and older. And then it graduates into adulthood and graduates into more and deeper sins and more of an exhibition of their vileness and wickedness before God. They have not the things of God. They have no desire, no real desire for the things of God. Chapter 6 of John, we haven't gotten there yet, but in the months ahead, we'll be getting into the 6th chapter of the book of John, and where Jesus tells them, I'm the living bread which came down from heaven. Eat of me, hunger. I'll give my flesh for you to eat. And the Jews, verse 52 of the sixth chapter says, the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? You see, they didn't understand. They thought somehow Jesus was going to carve off a piece of his flesh and give them his flesh to eat. They didn't understand that he was speaking to them in spiritual truth. You spiritually feed upon me. You spiritually feast upon me. You spiritually feast upon the things of God. You feast upon the gift of God, his Son, which he gave to those who would believe, that those believers would not perish, have everlasting life. They didn't understand that. The book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 2 and verse 14 tells us the problem with men who are not born again, men who are not in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, but the natural man, that is the unsaved man, the man that is not regenerated, the one who is not born again, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. These things that we are proclaiming unto you this morning, they are things of the Spirit of God, given to us of the Spirit of God. The natural man, the unbeliever, the unsaved, don't understand things, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. You see, he doesn't understand, he doesn't know them, and to him they're not just foolishness. Because why? Because they are spiritually discerned, because you have the Spirit of God to understand them. The natural man, the unsaved man, the unbeliever, the one who cares not for the things of God, the one who thinks those things as foolishness, doesn't have the Spirit of God. And so he can't understand spiritual truth. We want to notice four things concerning this woman here in this verse. Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? her blindness. Her blindness to the glory of Christ. In verse 9, this woman referred to Christ as simply a Jew. Remember, we asked the question when dealing with verse 9. Now, how did she know he was a Jew? She didn't know who this man was sitting there, but she knew he was a Jew. How did she know he was a Jew? Well, he said, give me to drink. He knew by his speech. His speech gave him away. And the Jews' dress, their apparel, the way they dressed, was much different than the way the Samaritans would have dressed. And so she knew by his dress, his apparel, the way he clothed himself, and the way that he spoke, that he was a Jew. And so she refers to him simply as a Jew. And in verse 10, Christ reproaches her. If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that says to thee, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. She was blind
to that.
She was blind to the gift of God. She was blind to the fact of whom she was speaking to. She was speaking with the Son of God, the Creator God, the one who had made the living water that was down in that well, bubbling up in that well. They say some 60 feet deep was that well, to get down to where that water was bubbling up out of the ground. That living water that she was focused upon. It was true. She'd never before met Jesus. Probably had never even heard of him, although she may have heard of him. But it was because she was blind. It was because she was blind and she saw in him no beauty that she should desire him. She only had worldly eyes. And her worldly eyes could only look upon the things of the world. We notice that here in verse 11. She's still only focused upon things which her eyes could see, behold. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. And look with me at verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, to them that are unsaved. Notice verse 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded. Who's the God of this world? Who's the prince and power of the air? Why, Satan is. But he's not greater than our Lord. He's not more powerful than our Lord. But he's been cast on the earth. To go about in the earth. To go about in the earth deceiving men. Jesus tells a group of Jews in the book of John in chapter 8, the 8th chapter, who were claiming to be Abraham's children. He said, if you were Abraham's children, you'd do the works of your father Abraham. What was the works of his father Abraham? The faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in God. And he said, because you are not the works of your father Abraham, ye are the children of your father, the devil, who was a liar and a deceiver from the beginning. See? And he it is, the God of this world, the God of this world, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Lest the light of the glory of gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You see, he wants to keep you in darkness. He wants to keep men all over the world in darkness as to who Jesus Christ is. He wants as many following him into the pits of hell, into the pits of the lake of fire, as he can possibly amass. He knows that's his end. And he wants to take as many as he can with him to that place. And so he took, what was it, a third of the angels of heaven when he fell, when he, that day that he exalted, tried to exalt himself above God and everything that was God. And he was cast out into the earth, and with him a third of the angels, that is, they were his followers. And so he goes about trying to keep men in darkness today, taking them with him. Unbelief. Unbelief prevents the sinner from recognizing the one who died upon the cross, the Son of God, the only one who could save him from his sins Back to the book of John and chapter 3. Upon this thought, beginning in verse 16, verse that I've quoted to you a couple times already today. Well, let your eyes feast upon it in John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. The world was already condemned. Why? Why is the world already condemned? Because they're sinners, and the sinners are condemned. God didn't have to condemn them. They're condemned by virtue of sin. But that the world through him might be saved, that a people from every tongue, tribe, and nation might be saved if they only believe in the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, that they can cease from all their struggles, they can cease from all their labors, and just trust in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned. You see, the believer is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. Jesus Christ has come into the world, and with him came the gospel. The gospel in which we preaching today, the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the light. Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 12, I am the light of the world. If any man followeth me, he walketh not in darkness, but hath the light of life given unto him. And men love darkness. Jesus Christ came into the world. The gospel's in the world. But men love darkness rather than light. Why do they love the darkness rather than light? Because their deeds were evil. They love their evil, wicked deeds. They love their adultery. They love their fornication. They love their lying. They love their drunkenness. They love their hatred and their anger. And they will not turn to the light. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Jesus had revealed himself to this woman of Samaria as the one who dispensed the gift of God. He revealed that to her in verse 10. And she could only answer. Her only answer was, sure, he has nothing to draw with. Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. How complete, how full was her blindness. You and I that are saved this morning, remember the time when we were exactly the same? The same way when God in his infinite mercy and love. I have to think of Ephesians 2:4, but God, who is rich in mercy, but God. Verses 1, 2, and 3 tell us we were dead in sins and trespasses. And it tells us that we're following after the prince of the power of the air. Where we're following after the desires and passions of our lust. We were the children of wrath, the children of disobedience. But God, But God is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us. Even we were dead in sins, dead to the things of God, and steeped in our sin and foolishness of our hearts. But God, all quickened us, made us alive. Christ Jesus, by Christ Jesus, by grace, by the gift of God, ye are saved. We were at that time opposed to the perfections of His beloved Son. God, who was rich in mercy, because of His great love wherewith He loved us. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 2, points out the fact that when we were in that condition, there was no appearance of beauty. There was no beauty in Him. There was no reason, we could see no reason at all why we would desire Him. That's what verse 2 said of Isaiah 53. Verse 3 of Isaiah says, we hid, as it were, our eyes from Him. We shut our eyes to Him. We as John chapter 3, verses 19 and 20 said, we hated the light. We loved the darkness. Why? Because our deeds were evil. Notice her occupation. Her occupation was with material things. He said, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. Her mind was centered on, we say, wells and buckets. The well is deep, and you don't have a bucket to draw with. I brought a bucket. Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? If you're going to go to get water, you must have a bucket to get the water in, right? That makes sense. Physically speaking, it does. You see, Jesus is trying to point her to spiritual truth, a spiritual understanding. And all she can see is with the physical eyes, physical things. All she can see is the well that's right there before her eyes, the well that she came to, the water that is in that well. And you got to have a bucket to get the water out of that well. Her mind was occupied with things of the world. She was not thinking even yet on spiritual things, on spiritual truth. She couldn't understand spiritual truth. She had not a mind to understand spiritual truth. We read it to you in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. Her mind was occupied with things of the world. Therefore, she could not rise any higher than the things of the world. Can you rise higher than the things of the world? Do you have a discernment into the things which are spiritual? The things which the Spirit of God are of the Spirit of God? Do you understand the things which are being proclaimed from God's Word to you today? In the book of Matthew chapter 13 and in verse 22, talking about the broadcasting of seed and the different types of grounds that it falls upon. In verse 22 it says, he also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. He hears the word. You're hearing the word today. It's being proclaimed to you today. But what's happening? The care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and you bear no fruit. You're hearing the word, but you're gonna leave this place today, being the word being choked out by the cares of this world. And you're going to leave here and not bearing any fruit. Not bearing any spiritual fruit. You can't bear spiritual fruit. So it was with us. We were kept away from the things of God by the things of the world. We read to you in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. The God of this world has blinded your eyes. And he'll keep you blind as long as he can. Satan uses just such things as the things of the world, the things that your eyes feast upon. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. The three avenues that Satan deals with us. The same avenues was which he dealt with in trying to get our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to sin. But he was gone. He was incapable of sin. And so he did not sin. Turn with me to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew in chapter 4. There, Satan dealing with Jesus on concerning the things of the world. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. All these things I'll give to you if you only fall down and worship me, Jesus. You see, but Jesus was the Creator God. All these things belonged to Jesus already. Jesus would not bow down and worship Satan. Satan had nothing to give him. Satan has nothing to give you that you don't already have. But Jesus Christ has the gift of life to give. Her concentration was on the means rather than the end. Sure, thou hast nothing to draw with. The woman's mind was centered on means rather than the end. She wasn't centered upon the living water that Christ could give. The life, ever flowing life, eternal life. What Jesus is talking about, that he could give. She was not centered upon the Savior himself. If not occupied themselves, men will focus upon themselves first. And if not themselves, they'll focus upon the preacher, or they'll focus upon someone else. Anything but Jesus Christ. You see, the one who is focused upon Jesus Christ, the one who is centered upon Jesus Christ, He has a care for the things of God. He has a compassion for the things of God. He has a passion. He has a desire for the things of God. And having a desire to please God and do that which is right, he has a desire which is full of love and compassion to his fellow man, because he's desirous to please his Heavenly Father, to please the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Satan will keep them occupied with anything or anyone but Christ. This woman was limiting Christ to the use of means. She didn't know who he was. If she knew who he was, she would not have limited him in such a way. For all she knew, he had nothing to draw with. And he had nothing to draw with. How is he going to provide this living water which is down in this well without a bucket? When it pleases God, when it pleases God, he's the giver. He's the giver of eternal life. He gave his Son. He gives repentance and faith. When he gives, when it pleases him, he uses his word. And the Spirit takes the word. The Spirit of God takes the word, takes the preached word, takes the read word, and makes it effectual in the heart of life and individuals. Her ignorance of the source of living water. She showed her ignorance. The source. Jesus Christ is the source of that living water. Jesus Christ is the source of grace and faith. Jesus Christ is the source of eternal life. Jesus said in the book of John, chapter 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, the life. He's the way. He is truth. No man cometh unto the Father. No man can enter into the kingdom of heaven except by him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now she asks, whence this water was to be obtained. How are you going to obtain this water? You see, she was still ignorant. She was still blind. Turn with me to John chapter 12 in closing. John chapter 12. And look at verse 35. Jesus, dealing with a bunch of Jews, which had heard the voice from heaven speak at the resurrection of Lazarus from the dead. And then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Notice that. Yet a little while is the light with you. A little while. Yet you have the light. You have the gospel of Jesus Christ being proclaimed. Yet a little while. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have light, believe in the light. Believe in Jesus Christ. He said in the 8th chapter to Jews, he said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things take Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, he had done many mighty miracles in their midst. He'd preached and he'd taught, he'd preached and taught on him being the light. Follow the light. And you'll not be walking in darkness. Believe in the light. Yet, they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore, they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, he hath blinded. He left them in their darkness. He left them blinded. God did. And hardened their hearts, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. You see, God left them in their blindness. God left them in their darkness. He's the giver, the gift. The gift of light, the gift of life. Look at verse 46. I am come, Jesus said, a light into the world. He came. And we proclaim his good news today, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. That's the question today. Do you believe in the light? Do you believe in the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for the saving of your souls? Or are you yet blinded to the truth of Jesus Christ being sent by God to die for your sins upon the cross, to be raised again for your justification, forgiveness of your sins? Shall we